The following is a lecture on Nectar of Devotion, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on November 13th, 2015, in Vrindavan, India.
So here we are at the Radha Damodar Temple. This is one of the most important temples in Vrindavan. The original deity was actually carved by Rupa Goswami and given as a gift to his beloved disciple Jiva Goswami, who later built a temple here. The spot where we are sitting, this is actually what's called Seva Kunj. This is where the Rasa Leela dance took place. There's a Rupa Goswami's Samadhi is right here. It's a very sacred place. Back in around 1972, there's a famous series of lectures that were conducted by Prabhupada right here at this spot. You can see photographs. It was outdoors at that time. Now they made it indoors. But this was an outdoor area formerly. And Prabhupada and his disciples would come here every day, and Prabhupada would give discourse on the nectar of devotion. So it's a very important spot.
The Goswamis also used to get together.
The Goswamis would gather here. This was a spot for the Goswamis to gather and discuss Krishna Katha. So it's a very, very sacred place of the Goswamis and also of Srila Prabhupada. Later we'll go for the darshan. There's a very special Srila here. Was it Sanatana Goswami? He was doing the Parikrama of Govardhan every day. He was becoming very old. It was difficult. So Krishna appeared as a little cowherd boy, and he manifested. He stood on a shila, a large Govardhan shila, and he put the shila melted. He played his flute, and the shila melted, and Krishna's footprint was put into that shila. And he was told by Krishna, if you do this parikrama, this shila, every day four times around, that's the equivalent of Govardhan parikrama. So after we finish the lecture, we'll go around the temple four times. And we'll also have the darshan of the shila. We'll go to the altar and ask the Bajari to give us a darshan for a small donation of this wonderful shila. So today we're going to read from the...
Prabhupada was living here. This place was here.
This is Prabhupada's quarters also. Yeah. In fact, through that little window right there.
And Prabhupada used to stay here, and he used to, before this place was not there, this hall was there. So it was all dirt and all kind of things. Prabhupada used to sweep and clean this area at night so the Goswamis can come, and he would pray for Goswami's mercy so that he can do the Bhagavatam and preaching work here.
Over here, with Prabhupada's quarters, his kitchen is on one side of the veranda, and his living quarters on the other side. Prabhupada said that he's living eternally in these rooms here at Radha Damodar Temple. So if everyone has Prabhupada's association, today you can have it. The room, you can talk to Prabhupada, your heart to him, and beg for his mercy that you can achieve pure devotional service. Because Prabhupada is actually here. This is where his translation work was done when for the first canto of the Bhagavatam. It was all done right here. So this is where Prabhupada lived. This was his home. So this is a very, very sacred place. And we're very fortunate to be here. So now, just as Prabhupada was giving the discourse on the nectar of devotion, today we'll study the introduction to the nectar of devotion.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
is chapter 1, the characteristics of a pure devotional service. And Srimad Bhagavatam, 29th chapter, verses 12 and 13, Srila Kapila Dev, while instructing his mother, has given the following characteristics of pure devotional service. My dear mother, those who are my pure devotees, who have no desire and who have no desire for material benefit or philosophical speculation, have their minds so much engaged in my service that they are never interested in asking me for anything except to be engaged in that service. They do not even beg to live in my abode with me. There are five kinds of liberation, namely to become one with the Lord, to live with the Supreme Lord on the same planet, to have the same features as the Lord, to enjoy the same opulences of the Lord, and to live as a companion of the Lord. A devotee, what to speak of rejecting material sense gratification, does not even want any one of the five kinds of liberation. He is simply satisfied by discharging devotional service to the Lord. This is the characteristic of pure devotion. So, this is what we should all be cultivating. We should all be cultivating this mood of pure devotional service. Because actually, this is the only thing that can satisfy us. Anything else you're trying to cultivate is just going to agitate your mind, actually. Because it's not really you. You're actually, in essence, a pure devotee. That's your actual identity. Therefore, anything you may cultivate besides pure devotional service, it's false. It's not your real self. You're cultivating a false self. You can't be satisfied by trying to be something that you're not. You can only be satisfied by being what you actually are, the pure devotee of Krishna. So rejecting all types of liberation even, the devotee simply wants to engage in pure devotional service. He doesn't ask for anything. Lord Chaitanya said, Nadanam najanam nasundarim kavitam vajagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatad bhakti rahaitaki tuve. I don't want wealth. I don't want women. I don't want followers. I'm not even asking for liberation from birth and death. I simply want to be engaged in your devotional service, birth after birth. So devotee has nothing to ask from the Lord. Devotee is willing to serve Krishna in the spiritual world, or the material world. It doesn't matter to the devotee. He can be in heaven, he can be in hell. It doesn't matter. He can be in any situation. His only desire is, may I always be engaged in devotional service without any desire for profit, adoration, and distinction. I heard a wonderful lecture as we were coming back from Brahmanagat yesterday. It was an arrival lecture Prabhupada gave in Los Angeles. At the very end of the lecture, Prabhupada said the most amazing point I shared with all the devotees in the car. Prabhupada said this, the very end of his lecture, he said, if you simply can please Krishna, then he will reveal himself to you and he will talk with you. So this is what pure devotional service is. You actually become qualified for Krishna to personally reveal himself to you and speak with you. Krishna is not a myth. He's not a figment of the imagination. He's not some just literal historical figure that appeared and now he's dead and gone. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's the source of all existence. He's within every atom. He's between every atom. There's nowhere where Krishna is not present. But at the time, he's so corrupt by anger, by greed, by madness. Krishna, near him talking to us, because he's covered by the material nature of nature. So cultivating pure devotional service means being qualified to directly associate with Krishna at every minute. It's not a myth. In fact, it's experienced by the pure devotee. Prabhupada then goes on describing service. He says, in the above statement by Kapila Dev and Srimad Bhagavatam, the actual position of the pure devotee is described, and the primary characteristics of devotional service are also defined. Further characteristics of devotional service are described by Rupa Goswami with evidences from different scriptures. He states that there are six characteristics of pure devotional service, which are as follows. There's a famous pastime in ISKCON. One of our sannyasis, he came to a temple, and they were in the middle of studying the nectar devotion. Somewhere they were reading it, maybe halfway through the book. He said, okay, what are the six characteristics of devotional service? Nobody can say it. Nobody can answer. He said, okay, page one. Start over again. Anything you should know about the nectar devotion is these six characteristics of pure devotional service. These are very essential things that we need to know. The first characteristic is as follows. Pure devotional service brings immediate relief from all kinds of material distress. Well, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Anybody here got some material distress? Raise your hand. Some of you aren't raising your hands. You're looking pure devotees already. So we have material distress. So it's not that we're taking the devotional service to relieve you. Devotees even willing to take more distress. If I surrender to Krishna, I get more distress, that's okay. Devotee doesn't he's not actually after that. Kunti Devi. He's saying, Krishna, give me more distress. But still, in spite of the devotee not wanting that, he simply wants to please Krishna, even if he has to be put into more distress. The devotee becomes completely relieved in that distress. For a devotee, distress is another type of nectar. It's all nectar. For a devotee, everything is nectar. Even distress is nectar. So when distress becomes nectar, then there's no distress. It may appear to be distress. But for the devotee, all, thank you, Krishna, for giving me another opportunity to go more deeply into your service. More deeply into your service. The second symptom is pure devotional service is the beginning of all auspiciousness. What is all auspiciousness? That is all. To the ultimate benefit of all living entities throughout all of existence. So when you take up this mood of pure devotional service, your whole life becomes all auspicious. Everything you experience now becomes your ultimate benefit. And everything you do, when you're associating with others, becomes to your ultimate benefit. Very, very wonderful result of taking up the mood of pure bhakti. Your every moment becomes divine, even when you sleep, even your dream is divine. Everything becomes auspicious. One may ask, well, why is this redundancy? Because we just said it relieves from all kinds of material distress, and now it says it puts you in the transcendental bliss. Is this being redundant? No, it's not. Because the Mayavadis, they also annihilate distress, but they don't get transcendental bliss. There's three aspects of the spiritual soul. Sat, Chit, and Ananda. He's eternal. Sat. Chit, he's full of knowledge, and Ananda, he's full of bliss. So the Mayavadis, if they achieve Brahman realization, they realize the eternity aspect, thank you very much. They realize the eternity aspect, but they don't get Ananda. So sat means you're relieved from material distress, and ananda means you're in transcendental pleasure. So there's more than just being free from distress. And that's when you go into transcendental bliss, where you're relishing the sweetest nectar of any minute. It's like, you know, just popping a glob jam at every minute. Not one of these, an ISKCON bullet, not one of these pseudo glob jamas they call glob jam. Many of you may not have tasted a real ISKCON bullet. There's a difference between a real ISKCON bullet and what they call glob jam in India. An ISKCON bullet explodes rasa within your mouth, a juice within your mouth. Hopefully you all have an ISKCON bullet experience someday. But pure devotional service is an ultimate ISKCON bullet exploding within your consciousness at every minute. Unlimited oceans of nectar are emanating from pure devotional service. So one just has to somehow capture this greatest of all achievements, pure devotional service. The fourth one, the pure devotional service, is rarely achieved. And I think, well, what's my hope then? If it's rarely achieved, what is my hope? How can I get it? Well, that is the great mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya. Even that which is rarely achieved, now has become available for everyone. It's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita how Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya have broken open this, have plundered the storehouse of love of God, and they're freely distributing its contents to everyone. So by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, that which is very, very rarely ever achieved by anyone, now becomes available to everyone. So how much we are indebted to Lord Chaitanya and to Srila Prabhupada, we cannot even begin to imagine how much we are indebted to these personalities. The fifth one is, those in pure devotional service deride even the conception of liberation. If someone offers a devotee, he can merge in Brahman, the devotee says, no thank you. He's not interested in this impersonal liberation. He simply wants to be engaged in devotional service. And the sixth one is, pure devotional service is the only means to attract Krishna. So you can't attract him with money, you can't attract him with anything else. It's pure devotion. That's why it's such a wonderful thing. Patram pushpam palam tayam yam me bhakta prayachyati tadaham bhaktvata avritam mishnami prayatatmanaha. If one will offer me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit or water, I will accept it. It's such a wonderful thing. Any poor man can get a little water or a leaf or a flower, you see, and offer to Krishna. This is what amazed me actually about Krishna consciousness. I was raised as a Christian. We had no concept that you could personally offer God something and He would personally accept it. That was that. When I, back in 1968, in Denver, Colorado, when I found out that verse in the Gita, this was amazing. So I started doing that. I had a picture of Radha and Krishna. I offered my fruit to them. And it opened up a whole new world for me. So that's amazing. You can have your own personal one-on-one reciprocation with God. Even though He's the supreme controller, He's the most powerful, the most beautiful, the most renowned, wealthy, the most famous, the most wise person. He's bigger than anyone. He's the supreme big person. And if you're well, you can't approach a big person. See, they have their bodyguards, you know. But if they want to come to you, then it's easy. And if this person wants to come to you, there's no problem. It's like our Bhaktivatsala Das. He was out on the book distribution one day in Los Angeles. And it was, the place was just crowded with people. But all of a sudden you saw all these, what looked like bodyguards, you know, they keep the guns inside their coats. You saw these bodyguards type of people. And all of a sudden there was Bill Clinton, the former president of the United States. And Bill Clinton saw him there, the devotee, you know, the shaved head and the saffron robe, the two lines. Bill Clinton came up and hugged him. Now normally you can't approach a big person. If a big person wants to come to you, there's no problem. So Bill Clinton came up, gave him a hug, he gave him a book. And Bill Clinton held up the book to show all the people. Everybody was cheering and holding up the book. And he got in the limousine. He was going off leading Prabhupada. Bhagavad Gita. To approach a big person is very difficult. But if you have such a mood, the big person wants to approach you. So Krishna is the supreme big person. All you have to do is that humble mood, pure devotion. But if you're in the mood, Krishna, give me this. Krishna, I want a wife. Krishna, I want a husband. Krishna, I want some money. Krishna, I want a job. Krishna, I want this. Krishna, I want that. Well, you know, for Krishna, I want a lot of disciples, or this or that. You may get those things, but you won't get Krishna. So, just do yourself a favor. Have one demand, and one demand only. That is, my dear Lord, please bless me with pure devotion. We have a very special prayer to beg for that. You know that prayer? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So just be in this mood. How much time do we have? Questions?
About 9 o'clock.
So just have a few questions and then proceed? One question? Okay. One question.
I was thinking of being in this place. There are so many books by so many of the predecessor acharyas and disciples of Srila Prabhupada, and like being confronted with bookstores and the mind gets dragged here and there. Are we supposed to read books besides for the books of Srila Prabhupada? And if we approach them, in what mood do we approach?
Can we read other books besides Prabhupada's books, and if so, how should we approach them? Your first series is read all the Prabhupada's books cover to cover. Just like in the school, you have your... I remember when I was in high school, we had 6 classes a day. You have your curriculum, and then you have extracurricular activities after hours if you want to do them. But your academic success is dependent on how you do in your curricular courses. So every devotee should first of all be very much conversant with Prabhupada's books. Because the other books are not, they don't have Prabhupada's purports to help us understand them. I've seen devotees go off in these other books and come out with so many misunderstandings which are not, they draw different conclusions other than what Prabhupada has taught us. There's a danger in reading other books because they don't have Prabhupada's purpose. However, if one is carefully studying Prabhupada's books, then you can read the other books. If you can, they are understood through the medium of Prabhupada's books. But if you try to come with some new understanding based on those books, leaving aside Prabhupada's books, then you're in big trouble. Big trouble. We understand everything through the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. If you have that conviction, and you're reading Prabhupada's books regularly, then other books are okay. Is that clear? Okay. All right. So, is it part of the class or just an announcement?
Yes, announcement.
announcement? Okay, so we'll stop here and have the class. And now we have an announcement from Guru Mataji.